Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time with us, we are glad you found your way to this worshiping community. Take a look at your bulletin. There are announcements and a calendar, ways you can learn about how we are church together through worship and fellowship, mission and learning. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship to receive any questions that you might have. One very short announcement, and then we have a great opportunity to hear more about mission and ministry here in the larger Genesee Valley Presbytery in collaboration with the Geneva Presbytery. We'll hear in just a moment from Leah Cohn, who is the director of Camp Whitman. But first, just a reminder that following worship, head down, grab your cup of coffee, and if you would like to join us for the conversation with Rob Kane, who is one of the real estate developers from Pathstone, we will be having that time together. We're going to try for the adult lounge, a little bit more comfortable, and chairs and heat are a good thing. So the Pathstone conversation down in the adult lounge. And now it is my joy to welcome Leah to come share with us a little bit more about Camp Whitman.
Good morning. It is my joy to be here with all of you this morning. Again, my name is Leah Cohn, and I am the director of Camp Whitman, and I've been the director of camp for the past 4 years, but I grew up at camp. I started at camp when I was 7 years old as a camper and was there for 14 years as a camper and counselor and board member during that time. I'm curious if anyone in this room has been to Camp Whitman before. Maybe you could raise your hand if you've been there before. Oh, good. We've got a good handful of people who've been there before. This is, if you haven't been there, that's our beautiful lodge overlooking Seneca Lake. I don't think this is.
Here. There we go. Take a seat. Perfect. Then you can see.
There you go. Whoa. Thank you. Always look up when looking for direction. So each summer since 1954, we have hosted children, families, and adults at Camp Whitman. That's a group of our staff from this past summer. One of the things that's unique about Camp Whitman is that we not only serve children, we serve children as young as 6 years old for two-night experiences, and children from 9 to 16 in 1-week-long experiences, but we also have a long-standing program for adults with disabilities. So we serve hundreds of individuals with disabilities each summer in addition to our children at camp. Number one, camp is definitely about having fun. It's also about making new friends and learning new skills. It's also about trying new things and experiencing challenges. And it's also about being in Christian community with one another. Worship, time around the campfire, spending in devotion with each other, laughing, singing songs, roasting marshmallows, trying our hand at archery, challenge courses, sports, arts and crafts, all of the things that make camp fun with one another. Camp is one of the amazing things that helps in drawing our youth together, along with mission trips, triennium, and all of those other things. It helps remind us that the Presbyterian Church and the Christian Church as a whole is a connectional church. When you go to camp, whether it's Camp Whitman or another Christian camp, you get to meet youth from all around the area. Sometimes you go with kids from your own church, and sometimes you get to meet kids from all over other churches. One of the amazing things for me about having grown up in the church is now that, and growing up at camp, is that now that I'm an adult member in the church, when I go to things like presbytery meetings and triennium and other things, I see people that I've known for 30 years in church, and I would never know them if I had not known them through camp. don't think this is your group, but one of the other things we do at camp in addition to summer camp is that we do mission trip camps. And 2 years ago, we were lucky enough to host the youth from Gates for a week of mission and service, both to Camp Women and to the community around the Finger Lakes. This is our bathhouse, and the youth from Gates helped finish paint that, doing a number of other projects around camp, serving in community with other agencies in the region. In addition to that, we have a counselor and training program for youth 16-17. There's a leadership training program. We also, one of the things that we do that's very unique is we do a leadership training program for our highest functioning individuals with disabilities, helping to teach them job training skills, helping to teach them independent skills. We also do retreats for youth and adults throughout the spring, summer, and fall. We're not open in the winter, but we do a lot during the spring, summer, and fall as well. We have an exciting time ahead of us that's coming up. We are approaching our 65th anniversary at camp. On the left-hand side is a picture of the original barn that was at camp in 1954. That's no longer there. We now have the lodge that's to the right there. But after 65 years, we're beginning to embark on major improvements to camp that we haven't had in many, many years. Over the past year and a half, we have engaged with consultants to help us figure out what the plan for camp was. Like many churches in the area and many camps, our future was very uncertain. Some of you may know that often happens with churches, and we weren't sure if camp was going to survive, actually. So by the grace of God and the good work of committee members throughout both presbyteries, we have a rich and exciting future ahead of us that we want to share with you today. We worked with these consultants to come up with three main goals for our future. The first being to be able to welcome individuals with all different abilities the best we could to camp, to enhance our programs to make sure that earth care and worship and spiritual care of our campers was number one, and to make sure that our camp was comfortable. Camp is very rustic, and rustic can be good, but rustic can also be kind of gross. We didn't want to be gross anymore. So some of us who maybe came for the youth retreat might know, like, camp is fun, but there's a lot of bugs. So we're doing major renovations to camp right now to make sure that camp is still rustic and outdoorsy, but not gross. That's the easy way to say that. So we're excited to share today that we have launched, this is huge for Camp Women, we have never raised any money to be honest, we have launched a $500,000 fundraising campaign that is going to do everything from putting new roofs on buildings to renovating all of the buildings that hold our staff during the summer. They're going to be beautifully renovated cottages for guests, for families, and retreats with beautiful pine paneling, all new bathrooms. We have a brand new kitchen. We're going to add an amazing pontoon boat to the waterfront so that we can take out individuals with disabilities and groups of kids and even adults to drive around the lake. We're going to add an outdoor cooking facility. The list just goes on and on and on. It's truly amazing what we're going to be doing. And sometimes these things could never seem possible to us, but through lots of prayer and, again, by the grace of God and the generosity of others, we are excited to announce that we had an individual who gave us a $250,000 matching gift. I mean, we've never really raised more than $1,000 from an individual before. We had an individual, and literally, fundraising has not been our strength. We have raised $250,000 as a matching gift from an anonymous individual as a challenge to raise the matching $250,000. And we just went public last week at the Presbytery meeting, and we haven't even gone out to the public yet, and we've already raised $171,000 of that $250,000. It's truly, truly amazing, the support that we've had from the community. And we wanted to share that news with you today and let you know that if you haven't heard from us in a long time, that Camp Women is thriving and excited to go into this future. We hope to be partnering with our churches more to bring more youth to camp, to bring adult retreats, whether they're session retreats or quilting retreats or anything else to have you come. If you haven't been there before, we'd love to have you join us. This came together really quickly, so unfortunately I don't have any brochures with me. They're all at the office at camp, but you can find more information online at our website, and I'll also be mailing a packet or bringing a packet over to church for families to grab as well. So thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here, and thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Leah. All right, you all can go back and sit up there. And Leah's going to be with us in worship. And hello. And afterwards, if anyone has any questions about camp. And now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
If able, for the call to worship. We have come to worship God, the Holy God, prophets and teachers to bear witness. We have come to praise God, the Almighty God, who answers the forces of hatred and hurt with the power of grace. We have come to serve God, all gracious God, who chooses even you and me to receive and carry the word of life and hope. All glory to God.
Thank you.
us now join our hearts and voices together in the prayer of confession. God of great expectations, you know how easy it is for us to make excuses for inactivity. We love to run and hide when asked to serve. We look at the expectation and think that we don't have the abilities, strength, or wisdom to accomplish this task. We think too often that we are doing these things all by ourselves. And we feel sorry for ourselves and angry that you expect so much from us. Forgive our ignorance and our stubbornness, O Lord. Help us to understand that the opportunities for service that you offer to us also come with your abiding presence, love, and support. Let our joyful service be part of the fulfillment of the mandate of Jesus Christ when he made his proclamation in the synagogue so long ago. Even before we were born, God knew us. God has always been with us. Place your trust in God's presence and forgiving love. Rejoice in the name of Jesus Christ. We all are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, the young children are invited to come forward for the Thoughts for Children with Jen. Jen, do you want them right here? All right. You all are...
Good morning, friends. I hope everybody had a good week. I don't know if you remember, a couple weeks ago, we talked about some music that's at the very beginning of our service called the Prelude and the Introit. Introit? Raise your hand if you remember the Prelude, if we talked about that. Okay, so that's music at the very beginning of the service. But today, we're going to talk about something called the anthem. Raise your hand if you've heard the word anthem before. No one's heard the word anthem? Okay, I'm just going to tell you what it is then. The anthem is a song of hymn or praise or gladness. It's meant for singing, and it's usually by the choir in the middle of a church service, or it can be someplace else. But an anthem tells you a message. And today, our junior choir is going to be singing our anthem, and they have asked us to help them deliver the message. So you are all going to get an instrument to play along, and we're going to be able to sit right here and watch and join the junior choir singing the anthem with Mrs. White. So I'm going to hand you all an instrument. Alright, so get ready to play along. We're going to start by just waiting really quietly. Okay, put them on your left. Put them on your left. And we have to watch Mrs. White. And when the kids start singing, we can join along.
Chosen. can even kiss a frog. Help a friend, send a card.
Say I love you when it's hard.
The Lord has chosen you.
I'm so gladly I can move a box for you. Serve God gladly. I can help you clean up too. The Lord has chosen you. And it's fun. Serve God gladly. God gives gifts to everyone. The Lord has chosen you. Serve God gladly.
Oh, thank you so much, Junior Choir, and to our young ones up front. Would you join me in a prayer? Dear God, thank you for letting me help serve gladly. I can help a friend by moving a box. I could give a frog a kiss. And I could give someone a hug. Thank you for joining us in the song and serving our Lord together. Amen. Okay, you can go to your classes.
The first reading of the word is from Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 10. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant."
Thank you.
Scripture reading this morning will sound familiar since it is the same one that we read last week, and needless to say, if you were here, you know that the people do not leave with joy. But hear God's words to God's people today. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. And a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. And when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And then he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, go cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you, that you did in Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up and they drove him out of town and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. In my sermon last week, I wondered if the reason that Jesus' first sermon was so short was because he charged his listeners to be the sermon, to live out what the prophet Isaiah proclaimed. And generally, the vibe that I got from you all was the sermon was good, solid. I don't really think anyone walked out of here amazed at the words that came out of my mouth, but then again, I'm not Joseph's son. Living and ruminating in this scripture for a second week, I came across a question from the theologian and preacher and bishop in the United Methodist Church, Will Willimon. And he asks a question. Every preacher in the pulpit and every parishioner in the pews needs to ask from time to time, what do you expect from a sermon? So I'd invite you just to think about that question for a moment. What do you expect from a sermon? How would you like to feel? What do you listen for? What would you like to have happen when you are listening to a sermon? And like Willimon, I've asked that question directly in conversations with you, and at times I receive answers via the hospitality registers or in an email or even when I'm standing at the door at the end of service. And what I hear you say is that you expect biblically based sermons that have clear, applicable steps to apply in your everyday life. Reasonable. You want a sermon that speaks directly to you, maybe from time to time makes you feel good. And then there are the sermons that you pay attention to because, well, I tell you stories. So, this might sound familiar to some, and maybe for others you're still wrestling with that question, but I invite you to keep thinking on it. What do you expect from a sermon? And if an answer comes to you later, send me an email, drop me a phone call. I'd love to hear your response. But I'm going to wager a bit of a guess here that, at least hopefully, none of your responses will line up with the gospel reading for today. Just a guess, not a challenge. If you paid close enough attention to the entire sermon that Jesus gives in the synagogue on the Sabbath, he actually does all three of those things. He starts with the Bible. The prophet Isaiah, he speaks to them directly and their lives. Talks about the good news, and initially that response he receives is positive, right? They feel good about what they've heard. So, did he go wrong when he started telling the stories? That's my only guess, and those stories might feel a bit random to us in our context. They need some context. You see, Jesus tells these stories about two other prophets, Elijah and Elisha. He goes to their familiar stories, the stories of the people from the time of the prophets. This wasn't a great time for the people. It's when the Israelites were feeling quite cut off from God. He sets the stage, reminding them when he says the heavens were shut, very specific in time, 3 years, 6 months, and there was severe famine over all the land. And Jesus goes on with his story to say that there were many lepers in Israel. Maybe a little bit of an exaggeration for the story, but I'm not going to call Jesus out on this one. Some of the lepers were Israelites, others were not, like Naaman, the Syrian. He was not. And Jesus also says there were many widows in Israel as well. Widows who were Israelites and widows, like the widow at Zarephath in Sidon, who was not. As Jesus continues with his story, the prophet Elijah was sent to none of them, except that outsider, Naaman. And upon repeating those words in his story, none of them received assistance except the other of the story, the unnamed widow, the leper. And the emphasis Jesus must have been making to this hometown crowd in Nazareth was that it was not one of them, not an Israelite, not an insider. That's when the tone in the room takes a very dramatic shift. This was not the sermon that they were expecting. Their response? All the crowd in the synagogue was filled with rage. And it's in this moment we realize with the crowd that Jesus' message isn't just for them. Now, some preachers have gone so far in an interpretation of this text to say that the Jewish community realized that the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ wasn't for them, but that is a very Christian interpretation reading into a text, because that is not what is implied here. It's challenging enough for a faithful congregation who makes the effort for them every Saturday to get up, to gather for worship, to do the work of being God's people. What Jesus proclaimed is that this good news was for more than just them. He included these stories in the sermon as a way of reminding them of God's long history of prioritizing the outsider, the foreigner, and the stranger. We know that God has always been about the business of working on the margins and crossing borders and tearing down walls. God continues to work at dismantling the religious and historical, ethnic and social boundaries, including nationalism and racism of any kind of hate that keeps those people out. And at the very start of Jesus' ministry, he goes about the business of proclaiming the good news was especially for those people. Yeah, this wasn't the sermon they came to hear that day. And Jesus wasn't one to stand at the synagogue door to hear one by one as the people came through the line about how much they didn't appreciate the sermon either. It seems like just a split second, the people go from amazement at his words to rage and hate. They actually physically get up and they drive him outside, out to a cliff. I think when we just play that through in our minds for just a moment, for any of us sitting here, that sounds really extreme. Maybe you can't think of anyone you've hated so much that you've wanted to hurl them off a cliff. Okay, maybe there are a few, but I also know that we've all noticed the increasing levels of hate around us, in our community, in our nation. And these levels are measurable, right? The FBI data here on hate crimes says it's been up 17%, even though overall violent crimes fell. It's measurable, but we can feel it in our bodies, in our bones, in our hearts. It's around us, the way that people talk to each other and about each other, the name-calling, the vitriol, and the normalizing of what my children would refer to as junior high behaviors. While we may not claim an intimate familiarity with this hate, we know enough about it to agree that there are times and seasons when hate and rage are normalized and it increases and we can feel it, and we also know that that hate does not begin with one sermon, one speech, one election, or one defining point in history. Because hate and its reaction, rage, are the cumulative effects of separating ourselves from one another. It starts with maybe not liking someone or agreeing with them. And it grows, and we begin to dehumanize that person or persons based on our assumptions and our thoughts. And then hate takes root in our minds and our hearts, and we begin to justify how those people, they don't make me feel safe. They threaten my way of life. They become less than human, not worthy of being anything more than just a leper or a widow, the poor, the immigrant, the terrorist. You see, these are all the words that allow us to make that subtle shift in our minds and in our hearts from that person being a child of God to something other and undeserving of God's grace and love. And that's hit really close to home for us here in Gates over the past couple weeks, as the news of three young men, one of them from here and another from Greece, were arrested for plotting to bomb a Muslim community near Binghamton. Now, this Wednesday, I was at the Islamic Center for my monthly meeting of the Commission for Christian and Muslim Relations. And the president of the Islamic Center, Tabassum Javed, spoke with us about the increased threats and hostility to the Muslim community, the hate, and how subtle it even comes, how disappointed he was when he got calls from the media and the news reporters were asking these very leading questions that tried to provoke responses of bitterness and vengeance from the Islamic community towards the persons who were plotting the attack. And Tabassum said that they want to hate something that they know absolutely nothing about, and they want us to hate back. So that if they keep repeating these lies they've told themselves about Islam until it becomes their truth, then they can really believe it. But in fact, at the core of all of our faith traditions is a faith in God, for whom the Muslims call Allah, who created us all to love God and one another. That was the sermon I needed to hear that day. And I will tell you that it got very personal. So being the only person at the table from the west side of Rochester, Tabassum turned to me directly and thanked me and this congregation Gates Presbyterian Church, for the work that we've been doing over the last few years here in Gates to help break down those barriers where Christians continue to feel like Muslims are those people separate from whom we are as children of God. Friends, if our love is grounded in the love of God, love that knows no ends or boundaries, love that we see manifested in Jesus, we know that surely our love must not be limited to our own community here in these walls. Jesus challenges us to reach out beyond these human-imposed boundaries, to be agents of God's good news and justice, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to help the oppressed to go free, to love God as God loves this whole world. May it continue to be so today and always. Amen. Raise your hand. A microphone will come to you. Let us know who you are and your prayer concerns today.
I have a few as people are gathering their thoughts and prayers. We pray today with Jerry and Pam Crandall as their daughter Shelley is in hospice and continues her journey. For Florence Case, who joined the church triumphant and died this week. For Steve Ferguson, who's having surgery this week on his shoulder. For Mary Beth McKenzie, her mother Joan, who is on hospice. And for our Jamaica travelers and advisors who we set out early Saturday morning, your prayers also appreciated. Any other prayers this morning?
Kate Stanford, for those that are dealing with depression and loneliness, that feel disconnected in this world, that God just watch over them.
Amen.
Hi, Cherie Barrett, continued prayers for Avery Sinisu, daughter of my co-worker. She relapsed with the cancer, and she's still in the hospital and now battling sepsis and a lung infection.
Continued prayers for a daughter and friend who is struggling with cancer in the hospital.
Beth Molina, former members, I believe they're former members, Ruth and Wilhelm Haas, Ron Haas as well. Prayers for Ruth and for Ron. Wilhelm passed away last week.
Prayers for that family. See one more hand over there.
No, I would like to say thank you, God. My daughter and my granddaughter, she been do a baby, very beautiful. And then we have, like, I would like to tell God, encourage them and make them smart and healthy for that for winter.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Was the baby born then?
Yeah, baby born.
The baby was born. Oh, good. Congratulations. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy for everything coming together for a talent show. Prayers for performing today at the George Eastman House. What a joy. Joys for found binoculars. Okay. And prayers, oh, this is a good one. Prayers for pitchers and catchers practicing in baseball and spring may soon be on the horizon. Prayers for jazz, for music, for swimming, for all the great activities our children have in their lives. Let us continue our time of prayer. O God, our holy Creator, give us a vision of your world as your love would make it, a world where the weak are protected and none go hungry or poor. A world where benefits of civilized life are shared and everyone can participate and enjoy. A world where different races and nations, cultures live in tolerance and mutual respect. A world where peace is built with justice and justice is guided by love. God, give us the inspiration and the courage to build it. Through your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let us now receive the morning offering.
Thank you.
offering, as people who have received your gifts of grace and hope, we return to you a portion of the abundance you have given to us. We dedicate all that we give to your loving purposes, bringing in those who have been cast out, standing strong on behalf of those who are weak, speaking out with your word of joy and justice for all people. May your loving realm increase. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, we go from this place filled with the light and love of God, the grace of our redeeming Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage from the Holy Spirit that it takes each day to get up to live again. Alleluia. Amen.